answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is coming to Washington to speak to a joint meeting of Congress later next month. But there is a split among Democrats about attending his address. Senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram explains.
Republicans are nearly united about Netanyahu addressing a joint meeting of Congress. However, the chasm among Democrats threatens to fracture the party. Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and other progressives declared they won't attend.
This is a time to choose a side. If Bernie Sanders wants to side with the terrorists, that's so be it. I pray and hope and expect that most of the members of the House of both parties and the Senate will join us for this historic address.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries signed off on the invitation for Netanyahu, along with Johnson and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
So you would think that would say we're all together if Schumer signs off on it and Hakeem Jeffries signs off on it. But Netanyahu's visit and address to the joint session of Congress, the 24th of next month, is already facing backlash, as you hear, inside our Congress. And that doesn't even speak about what Joe Biden, our president, will be doing or not doing when Netanyahu arrives. Will he even greet him? Will he invite him to the White House? Joe Biden is in treacherous waters. We know that. And he is in over his head. And he's still trying to keep his hand up to say, see, I'm still with those of you who support PLO, Hamas, the atrocities carried out. And then I'm also still with Israel. You can't be with both. It's got to be one or the other. Zelensky, every time he comes, it's been with his hand out, and all the members of Congress show up. In this case, we're being told that some members are talking about already boycotting, or they may go and then turn their back on him, thinking that that will show him we'll just turn around like we're not listening to him or hearing him. That kind of childish behavior, not really surprising when you look at some members of Congress. I have some more details I want to give you about where we are with Israeli relations and what's going to be happening with dealing with Iran and its nuclear program. But first, let me set the stage for you. Welcome aboard. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA, June 19th, 2024. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You're going to watch the program. You simply go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, or Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. If you miss anything, you want to go back and pull it up later, or watch and listen at your pleasure because you can't stay with us totally right now, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. Every program goes up as a podcast when we're finished. And not only on those locations, but other podcast facilities as well. Very easy to find me, Larry Connors USA. And I thank you for your support. I also want to remind you that wherever you are, if you have one of these, you got one of these, those of you watching? Those of you not, you can't watch right now. I'm holding up my cell phone. If you've got one of these, you have a radio. You can listen to the program wherever you are. I mean wherever you are in this nation or across one of our oceans, you can listen. You simply enter in Newstalk STL, get the app, put that on for free, or you enter newstalkstl.com, and you get live stream on a constant basis. Not only for this program, but for all the programs that we're proud to present on Newstalk STL. So you never have a reason to say, well, you know, I got outside the range of your signal. We have two great FM signals. But just in case you get beyond them, or because of atmospheric conditions or other things going on, well, then go to your cell phone. It's digital, clean, uninterrupted. Now, we do have a reports of something astonishing going to happen at some point this month at a far, far, far away location from us. We're going to have an exploding star, and it's apparently going to be about the size of our sun exploding and imploding and all this other stuff beyond my rank and ability to explain it fully. I don't have the full script in front of me, but it's going to be quite a heavenly feature, and apparently it will be visible for 2 to 3 nights. You look to the north into the sky, and you'll be watching for it. Once it happens, word will get around. You'll be able to see it with the naked eye. But it may or may not cause some additional disruptions like we get sometimes from sunspots, sun flares, as they're often called. All right, so we have U.S. and Israeli intelligence agencies while we're waiting for Benjamin Netanyahu to speak to members of Congress. They're holding meetings, going to hold some at the White House, to discuss Iran's nuclear program because the intel agencies, according to Axios, as it was reported, there's new concerning information about Iran's capabilities. Reportedly, they uncovered information about a computer modeling program that Iran has acquired, something that could be used to assist in developing nuclear weapons even more so. In fact, quoting a senior advisor for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, that's a Washington-based nonpartisan national security think tank, his quote is, "For years now, the intel community has assessed Iran as not actively working to build a nuclear weapon." You know, he's a senior advisor for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, supposedly nonpartisan and a think tank, but I'm thinking, you're not thinking. Did you really think they weren't? Seriously, that one line? "For years now, the intelligence community has assessed Iran is not actively working to build a nuclear weapon." How do you come to that conclusion? Anyway, goes on to say that it might be building out the assembly line for material, but we had no indication of active weaponization work. In other words, buying their lies that they say, "We're just trying to take our people out of the Stone Age." When I say what they really want to do is bomb the rest of the world into the Stone Age. Anyway, this spokesman, senior advisor, says, "If it's now true that it might be building weapons, that would upend our earlier assessment and suggest Iran has a shorter runway to a bomb than previously reported." I don't know how many times I've had Fred Flights, had him on just yesterday. This information had been released in front of me at that point, or I would have asked him how many times he said that Iran could be weeks or maybe even days from having enough material for a nuclear weapon. Now, delivery of that nuclear weapon, they may not have the missile, ballistic missile capability, but hell, you could take a small nuke, put it on the back of a mule, take it across the terrain, and right into a target area. I will say that the same guy I'm quoting, Richard Goldberg, who'd worked as director for countering Iranian weapons of mass destruction for the White House National Security Council from 2019 to 2020, the Trump administration, has criticized the Biden administration for rolling back the maximum pressure policies that Trump had on Iran. He argues that Iran, quote, is now building the assembly line right in front of us for a bomb. That I fully buy, but I'm absolutely lost by that opening statement of his that for years the intel community has assessed Iran is not actively working to build a nuclear weapon. Maybe he got misquoted. I don't know how to explain it for him, and I can't do it, so I'll have to let it go. We do know this, that we have numerous terrorists that have come into our nation. We've caught some just the other day, ISIS members. They were stopped at our border, but then they were given a pass to go ahead because they couldn't fully vet them. Some of the areas they claimed they had come from, there's no documentation anyway. And then later we learned that they're members of ISIS. And you know where they ended up finding them? They did relocate them, at least some. I think in New York, Boston, Detroit, maybe D.C. Blue cities, sanctuary cities, where maybe they could hide out a little bit longer before they get stopped and questioned. But the Mayorkas-Biden administration, yeah, I'm leaving out Harris. I'm not saying Biden-Harris. I'm saying Mayorkas-Biden in this case. Our Department of Homeland Security Secretary and our president, they're just happy with the way things are going. Listen to this question to Mayorkas from MSNBC.
President Biden, he campaigned on making a safe, orderly, and humane immigration system. Do you believe that that has been accomplished?
We work at that every single day across the Department of Homeland Security, across our administration, with our partners to the south and around the world. We have established more lawful, safe, and orderly pathways than any other administration, and we are working every day to strengthen the security of our border.
You established more lawful ways because you created new laws and allowing them to come in. That's how they did that. And, of course, they have this Customs Border Patrol application app that you can use if you're deep in Central America and you can access it. You can go and fill out your status, and then so when you come to the border, they'll let you in because you've already been approved. Do you really believe we're properly vetting everyone coming across? We're not even properly health screening them. And those are the ones that actually come through the checkpoints we've established. That doesn't count the others that are either coming up along the Baja and suddenly crashing a boat on shore in California and racing into the neighborhoods, or those going across the border in clandestine fashion at night. But the Biden camp is just happy with what they're doing because they think this is what the American public wants.
They can remain together as a whole family here in this country as a result of this executive order. Those are the things that matter most. And those are the ways in which President Biden continues to fight for, communities across this country that, really deserve the opportunity that we know is so important in this election.
Not important to me. Is it important to you? They're talking about the DACA program that they're trying to expand, which they did. And you know what? Sorry, I'm seeing reaction from it. In Seattle, they deeply need more police officers. So now they're accepting applications from DACA recipients. The Dreamers, something like 800,000, came into the U.S. as children and not to deport them. Now, again, this is you have to be very careful here. When these were kids, they were brought here by their parents. They had no say in where they were going. Do you deport all of them? Or do you make sure you deport them if they break a law? Now, I would all be for that. But here's what they're doing in Seattle. They are now looking for DACA recipients to become police officers. Law enforcement agencies are noting one issue facing these recipients becoming police officers, DACA recipients, because they are in the country illegally, which means they're not generally permitted to carry a firearm. But with Biden's actions, yeah, they could become members of the Seattle Police Department. And if they're going to do that and be law-abiding police officers, great. But, I'll leave that with a but. In the meantime, Iran is looking at our open borders, the way we're handling the Middle East. Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, former CIA, says Iran sees all this opportunity building right in the midst of our election.
I certainly think that this is the window that the Iranians think they can use to exploit and harm American interests. There's no doubt about that. And you can see what's taking place today. We had 8 Israeli soldiers killed. We've had over 1,000 Israelis killed. We still have Americans held hostage. And the Iranians feel like there is literally no cost between here and, frankly, not just November, but January until a new president might take office. We understood for 4 years, Martha, we didn't get it right every day on everything, but we understood deeply that the greatest state-sponsored terror in the world is the regime in Iran, and you have to punish them, sanction them, impose costs on them. And absent that, you get exactly the chaos we see in the Middle East today. And the Gulf states that want to be our friends and allies are going to hedge their bets if the United States walks away from helping Israel defeat these terrorists.
And why wouldn't they? Yesterday, a Senate Committee on Homeland Security opened hearings to drill down on how Americans were deceived during COVID. Let's begin with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Today we are here to examine one of the most critical and debated questions of our time. Did COVID-19 originate in a lab? To answer this question, let's revisit the early days of the pandemic and examine what some of Dr. Anthony Fauci's inner circle said privately about the origins of the virus. Discussions that were only revealed through FOIA litigation. Christian Anderson wrote, "The lab escape version of this is so friggin' likely to have happened because they were already doing this type of work, and the molecular data is fully consistent with that scenario." Ian Lipkin stressed the nightmare of circumstantial evidence to assess regarding the possibility of inadvertent release, given the scale of bat coronavirus research pursued in Wuhan. Bob Gary said, "I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it to COVID-19, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides, and all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature." According to Gary, it's not crackpot to suggest this could have happened given the gain-of-function research we know was happening at Wuhan.
We know it was happening. And Rand Paul points out, so did Dr. Fauci.
Federal court orders reveal that even Dr. Fauci himself privately acknowledged concerns about gain-of-function research in Wuhan and mutations in the virus that suggest it might have been engineered just days before he commissioned the proximal origin paper. Despite these private doubts, publicly these so-called experts and their allies were dismissing the lab leak theory as a conspiracy. Within days, Anderson, Lipkin, and Gary were putting final touches on what would be remembered as one of the most remarkable reversals in modern history. In their proximal origin paper, these scientists concluded, "We do not believe that any type of laboratory-based scenario is plausible." Privately, they were saying one thing. Publicly, they were saying another. Media pundits parroted the narrative while social media platforms censored discussion about the lab leak, labeling it as misinformation and stifling open discourse about the virus's origins. The cover-up went beyond public statements. Federal agencies and key officials withheld and continue to conceal crucial information from both Congress and the public. For instance, Dr. David Morenz of the NIH deleted emails that could have contained valuable insights into early discussions. When he deleted them, he made the comment, "I think we're safe now."
Yeah, and when he says, "We think we're safe now," we think we're safe from being found out and prosecuted. I want them to get every one of them in prison and pay a heavy penalty for what they did to this nation. Beginning with Dr. Fake. Coming up, Senator Josh Hawley gets ahead of Boeing in front of him, and boy, does he light a fire under him. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. Calhoun, what is it that you get paid currently?
Senator, that's well disclosed in our proxy documents in each of the years that I've been employed.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's a big number, sir.
Well, let me help you out. It's $32.8 million this year. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
That's a 45% increase over last year. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
What is it you get paid to do exactly?
I get paid to run the Boeing company.
Yeah. So just help me understand that. I mean, do you get paid for transparency? Is that one of the metrics for your income?
I think the board counts on me for transparency.
Really? Because you're under investigation for falsifying 787 inspection records. The Boeing's under criminal investigation for the Alaska Airlines flight. You were investigated by DOJ for criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA. This is all in your tenure. This doesn't sound like a lot of transparency to me.
No, it doesn't, does it? That is Senator Josh Hawley questioning the CEO of Boeing. Do you see how he was really trying to hide his salary, his pay? Why would somebody do that? It's all public record, obviously, and it's on board reports, and they had it. The senator knew what the number was, as you heard him state later. But this guy wouldn't admit what his salary was. He finally said, well, it's a big number. It's almost like saying, and you don't need to know. But Senator Hawley has a need to know, and so do you. And we know it now. $34 million. A 45% increase over previous salary that he had. And then Hawley's question, what is it exactly you're paid to do? Well, they pay me to watch over the airline to make sure everything is good and everything is safe. Well, he said, I have an issue with that. I don't see where you have a great safety record. The Boeing 777 is what he's talking about. came out officially in air for service in 95. And when it came out, a lot of people loved it immediately, but there were also very quickly a couple of crashes. Part of it had to do with, they believe, lack of training of pilots, because pilots were told, and the companies buying the planes were told, you don't have to have your pilots go off and do additional training and spend more money on it. They can learn on a computer, and then when they're on the plane, they can take care of it. Well, that seemed to be not exactly correct. And then the incidents started piling up. You remember one of the most recent, the one about the flight door plug, as they call it, where they would have an exit door, but it wasn't going to be used as an exit, so they put in a plug, another assembly that includes a window in that position. And remember it blowing out on a flight? That's one of the issues Senator Hawley questioned.
What about safety? Is that a component of your salary?
It sure is, Senator.
You know, have you seen the reports that the subcontractor that you used to make that door piece that fell out of the sky, that when the FAA went and toured the facility, they found one door seal being lubricated with Dawn liquid dish soap and cleaned with a wet cheesecloth, and another was being checked with a hotel room key card. Does that sound like safety to you?
Senator, I think our relationship with that particular supplier has been well documented, reviewed by the FAA, and most certainly us. And I'm very intent on acquiring that company so that none of that ever happens. Mm.
Now, is he saying that we're interested in buying that company so it will never happen again, or simply also saying we'll put inspectors keeping a closer eye on that company within our planes? But acquiring the company is what I heard. As I said, the 777 went into service in 95. As of May this year, the 777 has been involved in 31 aviation accidents and incidents. Now, that doesn't always mean a crash, but something like the door plug blowing out. Thank goodness no one went out that opening. It had not reached, at that point, a high altitude, so there was not enough pressure to suck anyone out, but apparently it took a shirt off of a boy sitting nearby. I mean, even with your seatbelt on, you could have been sucked out if you're at the right altitude. In fact, it could have caused the entire plane to implode. But since May 2024, they've been involved in 31 aviation accidents and incidents. And out of that 31, 5 hull loss accidents. 8 total hull losses. Now, you have a hull loss. You obviously had some kind of crash landing or something that went wrong, and yet you got the plane down and parts of it were salvageable and everything else. But with a total hull cross loss, you've got to have fatalities. And indeed, since May 2024, or rather as of May 2024, since being introduced in 1995, Boeing and its 777 have had 542 fatalities, including 1 ground casualties. So Hawley wants to drill down more on the safety issues.
The FAA also says that Boeing still has not implemented the recommended steps back from 2019 and 2020 after the MAX crashes. You still have not taken the appropriate safety procedures or implemented what they recommended. I mean, how, if safety is a component of your $33 million compensation package, I mean, how can you possibly qualify for any of this? What about quality? Is quality part of your compensation package?
Senator, I meet with the FAA pretty regularly. They don't hold anything back, and I'm not aware of anything that has been cited with respect to those accidents that we haven't taken action on.
Really? Because we've had whistleblowers. You said you listened to whistleblower testimony. We've had multiple whistleblowers come before this committee and allege that Boeing is cutting every possible corner on quality and safety, not just in the past, but now. They've alleged that you've eliminated safety inspections, that there are fewer in quality and there are fewer inspectors doing quality inspections out there. They've alleged that when they raised quality issues and concerns, they were reassigned, they were retaliated against, they were physically threatened. That doesn't sound like attention to quality to me. And yet you're getting paid $33 million a year.
Yeah, there's a gap. There's a disconnect, is there not? I have a lot of friends who work at what is Boeing now. Many of you will recall what is Boeing now in the St. Louis area was McDonnell Douglas. In 1996, Boeing's North American division, Rockwell, took over McDonnell Douglas. They called it a merge. $13 billion stock swap, Boeing, the surviving company. So a lot of the folks I know at Boeing for some years were with McDonnell Douglas prior to that time. And they're still there. And they're doing all their jobs, I'm sure of that. I know the quality of the people I'm referring to. But if you've got folks that are just indifferent or that they're being pressed constantly, do it faster. And then we got whistleblowers coming forward and they try to say, this isn't right, we can't do it this way. And then they get threatened. I don't care who is owning the company at that point, shareholders included, something's got to be done. The CEO continues to deny anything is wrong.
Senator, I don't recognize any of the Boeing you described.
Really?
And I want to assure...
You don't recognize the Boeing that has airplanes falling out of the sky? That has had two MAXes crash, that has had pieces of doors fall out of the sky, that have had whistleblowers come before they've sat right where you have sat and told us, these are your employees who have told us that when they, these are the engineers, by the way, are you an engineer?
I'm not
sure. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And they have said that they're not listened to, that they're retaliated against, that they're threatened. That's the reality of Boeing today. That's your company that you have created. Now, I don't recognize it either from the company it used to be decades ago, but under your leadership, that's what Boeing is, and you're being rewarded for it handsomely. Handsomely. Don't you think there's something wrong with that? Why Senator, haven't you resigned?
Yeah, you know, Senator, I stand by what I said, and I want to assure the great employees in your state that that is not the way we operate
why,
the company,
why haven't you resigned?
And if you would like my chief engineer to talk about what he sees in
No,
years.
I want to hear from you, because what I hear from you is a lot of this team does that and that team does that, and I listen to the whistleblowers, but I don't meet with them, and I've heard about all this stuff that you Congress have meddlesomely asked for because the public wants to see it, gosh darn them, but you actually haven't supervised any of it. I've heard that. It's a lot of it's this, it's that. But meanwhile, you're getting paid a heck of a lot of money. It's unbelievable. If anybody's coming out of this deal good, it's you. Why haven't you resigned?
Senator, I'm sticking this through. I'm proud of having taken the job. I'm proud of our
safety record,
and I am
proud
of our Boeing people.
I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of my check. I should add that note. Good question by Josh Hawley. Coming up, the fake videos about Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle, and Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Critics keep accusing President Biden of freezing up. That is something White House officials say is not actually happening. They claim that media is being manipulated.
I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right-wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation.
During the briefing yesterday, though, she referred to cheap fakes and also deep fakes while dismissing these clips. But there's an important difference. A deep fake is if somebody is using AI or some other software to change the things that President Biden is doing or saying. A cheap fake is just if a clip is cut shorter than they want or from an angle that they don't like. Both of them are the same, though, in that they are both being used as terms to scapegoat, as this White House just does not want people to think that the things they see on social media are as they appear.
Oh, so, yeah, the most interesting spin I can imagine.
You know, we've got this story going on for some days and continues to stay in play because everything Biden does is under scrutiny. And at the fundraiser last weekend with Obama on the stage, the video clearly shows Obama's talking, Biden's talking, they get up, the event is over, they walk kind of together to the center of the stage along with the host, Jimmy Kimmel. Biden is kind of waving to the crowd and smiling and then drops his hand beside him and just looks almost frozen, but then again, maybe he's just, if you want to give him a little grace, just taking in what he sees and appreciating it. Meantime, to his left, Obama is still gesturing and pointing out to people, hey, I see you, thank you, you know, that kind of stuff. But then it is time to go, and he's probably took note of what's happening on his right, and that is Joe Biden is just standing there stiff as a board. If you look at the video, you can't fake this. Well, I'll correct that. You certainly could, but it happened, and so many people caught it. You'd have to take down every piece of video anyone put up and redo it. Obama reaches over and takes Joe Biden's left wrist, takes him by the wrist with his right hand and pulls him toward him and starts walking toward the exit. And then as Biden does that, then he takes his arm and puts it over the shoulders of Joe Biden, like two pals walking off into the sunset. If you follow the video all the way to the actual exit before the curtain comes down, now Obama has his hand in the small of Joe Biden's back, still gently guiding him. I would really like to know what was going on inside Obama's mind at that time. How am I going to get this guy off the stage without him stumbling or me shoving him out? It's not a deep fake there. And we got KJP talking about all your media. You know, you're often called out for putting out, you on the right, you're putting out false information all the time. Yeah, you can. There are people that put it out false, and the left calls it out. Sometimes they fabricate. But so does the left, and so does, oh, you, KJP. How many times have you told us a lie? To our face, they're on the White House press corps podium, and we're supposed to take it as fact. Well, we don't take it for fact. And you can't deny the video. And there are other videos. I guess it's all been faked that he stumbles going up the steps to Air Force One. You could replay some of that and mix it up, but the original scenes were not. Again, anybody can misstep. See, I'm willing to have a lot of grace in some of these areas, but I really, really reach the breaking point when you start trying to manufacture a lie around an incident that is a fact. So the man stumbled. I accept that. I'll have to admit to you, as graceful as I am and as athletic as I am and as young as I am, stop it. Stop yelling back at me. I have occasionally stumbled. And no, it had nothing to do with alcohol. But I might have to come up with that story if I need to in the future. But here's the other thing. Even some Democrats, according to Axios, a piece that they just put out today, it's titled Top Biden Aides Worry Over Scary Situation of the President Not Having a Serious Plan to Beat Trump. A serious plan. Democrat strategists and advisors to Biden are revealing all these concerns with just months to go. One strategist who communicates with the Biden campaign said he doesn't know what plan Biden's inner circle has to beat Trump, if any. He should be in position to know. November's not that far away. But this guy's not being quoted by name because he wants to remain as a strategist. He said, it is unclear to many of us watching from the outside whether the president and his core team realize how dire the situation is right now and whether they even have a plan to fix it. And some advisors admit they feel pressured not to speak up in meetings, especially if they're with Biden's most trusted, longest-serving, loyal aides. One anonymous official telling Axios, even for those close to the center, there's hesitance to raise skepticism or doubt. There is not a discussion that a change of course is needed. Do you remember how they made such a big deal out of Donald Trump? You got to pledge your loyalty to him. You have to pledge your loyalty to him or you won't be on his team. So, that is with every guy that wants you on their team. You're going to be loyal to our team. You're going to be, we're going to hire you. You're going to be loyal to our company. But for some reason with Donald Trump asking for the fealty, their loyalty, it's suddenly a sin to even ask for it. And yet they have no problem with Joe Biden and his team. And not one person wants to speak out for fear what will happen. May I take a moment to remind you again, though, despite all of this noise, and a lot of it is noise, and some of it might be false flags planted. They have no plan. They have no plan. When, in fact, they really have a plan. And, in fact, they may have a plan in the Democrat Party that does not include Biden, which he'll unveil at the convention in August in Chicago. But your plan, and those who think alike with you, your plan is simple. You go to the polls and you vote. If you know you're going to be out of town, you're not going to be there on that voting day, get an absentee ballot properly filled out, and you do it. Do not miss the opportunity. I played this in the previous hour, and I want to do it again. This is a soundbite pulled up by Ken Williams, who's the producer for the Vic Percelli Show, and he shared it with me. It is a Catholic nun apparently doing her own speaking on behalf of herself, I assume, in her podcast about how vital this election really is.
It's an election year in the U.S. In normal times, an election is the moment when ordinary people can take back control of their nation's destiny. But these are not normal times. Across the globe, men and women are waking up to the alarming truth that governments no longer serve God or the people. And, beloved, I'll interrupt to say myself that if President Trump gets in, it's a complete act of God. If Biden is not reelected, it is a complete act of God, because every scheme and every evil is out there that he would continue to be our president, as inept and evil as he is, at least done evil things. Those that surround him and advise him and even direct him, the devil is wise. And I would not put it past them to do anything. So we are up against not just an election, but an absolute war for good against good and evil.
Good and evil. Biden is Catholic, claims to be practicing Catholic, and yet he no longer abides by the Vatican decision against abortions. I'll leave it between him and the Vatican and God to figure that out. We're all sinners, and despite whatever religion I proclaim, I have made mistakes and will continue to make mistakes. If you're no religion, I don't know how you can't believe that there's something more powerful than you, whatever you want to call it. But that point, a battle between good and evil, has been with us since Adam took the apple from Eve, and she was talked into it by the serpent to feed from the tree of knowledge that God said, do not eat from that tree. Sin has been with us since that time. And you talk about the evil that exists. I'm not talking about Biden himself. I'm talking about everyone on the left that is far, far left, and everything they're trying to push on us. You know what they've been doing to our children. Indoctrination in the school, not education. And insisting that transgender men can be playing in a woman's sport, and even they're about 100 pounds bigger and more muscle mass, they're allowed to play tough on the girls, physically tough as well. And taking away scholarships these girls were hoping to get. If you're the father of a daughter, you've got to have real concerns about that. If you're a father of sons, you've got to be upset. And here's another example of the evil they're trying to push on us. In California, they're looking to appeal a Proposition 8 that has language that states marriage is only between a man and a woman. A Democrat state senator in California and assembly member want to protect same-sex marriages. All right, we have a lot of that going on now. I told you previously I have a couple of gay friends who went to California. They were living out there, and they decided they didn't want to get married, but they wanted to have all the rights that go with being married. And so they had a union. They didn't even want to call it a marriage because they said that's what our parents did. So I don't want to use the term marriage. But they have been joined legally, and they have all the rights that go with that. Whether you like it or not, I do believe in giving everyone equal rights. But here's what the concern is. The California Family Council points out the wording of this new proposition does not just mean the right to marry is a fundamental right between adults. It opens it up and says, according to the president of the California Family Council, a Pandora's box, you could have children getting married. You could have nephews and nieces marrying uncles and aunts. You could have potentially even mothers and fathers marrying each other, or mothers and children, or fathers and children marrying each other. That's how wide open this law is. And those that are pushing for it, they know it. They know it, and they want to be on the cutting edge of the new frontier of marriage. Not just between a man and woman, not even between two consenting adults, male or female, but between children, and that children will be able to get married, or fathers will be able to marry their daughters, or the other way around. And they are, at this point, the Oakland City Council has approved polyamorous relations as of April, protecting, quote, diverse family structures. The Berkeley City Council passed a similar proposal in May for more non-traditional relationships. And again, we're not talking about adults. We're talking about children. Children. The battle between good and evil is very clear there, isn't it? I'd mentioned previously that we have a major event coming in the skies. We'll give you more details on it. It's an impending nova event that's going to be so bright that you'll be able to see it with your naked eye. Apparently there's a dead star about the size of Earth and a mass comparable to the sun. It's 3,000 light years from Earth and expected to explode at some point this summer, according to NASA. They say it will be a once-in-a-lifetime event. A lot of new astronomers out there looking at it, and new astronomers being introduced to it now because of it. And they say it's pretty exciting to have a front-row seat from here. They don't think it's going to happen in any way that will affect us, but we haven't witnessed one before, so they don't really know. One statement they issued, there are a few recurrent such events with short cycles, but typically we don't see a repeated outburst in a human lifetime, and rarely one so relatively close to our own system. It'll be a burst of light. They say to find it, you look to the sky and you look for the northern crown, a horseshoe-shaped curve of stars west of the Hercules constellation. Good luck with that. As always, I appreciate you listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.